Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. We'll get into the latest on the Tennessee Volunteers with him. And Joe, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Tim Banks, now the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. He was hired yesterday. Tennessee had to pay a bit of a hefty price to make that happen, but now they've got their guy. What do you think of Tim Banks as a whole? What do you think he brings to the table as the defensive coordinator of Tennessee Vols?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a successful tenure at Penn State as the co-DC. You know, they've been – I mean, the numbers have been very good, you know, for them defensively over the over his tenure. He's – you know, he has a good reputation as a recruiter. He was not the play caller at Penn State. He has been in the past. Course, you know, the Butch Jones connections are just irresistible. You can't not mention that. But you know, in all seriousness, I mean, he's got a good resume. I think he's a viable candidate. We also know, based on you know, the reporting of Chris Lowe and others, there are a lot of, and you know, a lot of people know about some of the candidates they talked to, but it's quite a list, you know, before they got to Tim Banks. And it just looks like this is a situation where maybe he turned them down at first, or it was just back and forth negotiating. But, man, they paid a ton of money for him to be the DC. And that's when, one, that is where things are going. They're just – the salaries are just going to keep going up and up and up until basically every Power 5 coordinator out there is making more than a mil. That's where we're headed. But, two, it does look like – it looks like a team that had to settle – for a candidate down the list and then had to overpay.
And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? Appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
So, Josh, with that in mind, you heard kind of Joe throw it out there a little bit. What do you think of the hiring of Tim Banks as defensive coordinator, and how much of a, I guess, back and forth negotiation do you think it was, given the price tag that ended up happening for Tim Banks in this process?
Yeah, well, I do agree with everything I heard Joe say there. Tennessee's paying a ton of money. A lot of schools, especially big time schools, pay a lot of money. You can think about it this way: when Derek Ansley was hired at $1 million a year, the thought was, "Man, that's a lot of money." And Tim Banks is getting a 40% bump on that when you look at the average salary over 3 years. And I think part of it was Tennessee had to spend to get a coach that it thought was worthwhile to bring to Tennessee because of the state of the program, because I think the search just tells us that, the amount of coaches that turned down big money, Al Washington turning down big money, and others either turning down big money offers or the possibility of getting that money from Tennessee. Let's see with Tim Banks. He's a guy that has a lot of experience coaching. Now he's going to have more responsibility, and he's going to be the guy that's in charge of Tennessee's defense. And I don't know where Banks would rank on the list of coaches that Heupel wanted, because I do think it's a matter of maybe going back to him with more money, and then that makes Tennessee more attractive to him. So let's see. Like with Josh Heupel as the head coach, I think with Tim Banks as the defensive coordinator, there is a wait and see, let's see what he can prove aspect to this.
Okay, so your reaction, Josh, to Gus Malzahn taking the UCF job, to his press conference, and how would you assess the overall reaction of the Tennessee fan base to that news?
I thought it was mixed from what I could tell. I think there are some Tennessee fans that are looking at UCF thinking, wait a minute, they just hired a guy who had success in the SEC, won an SEC title, and was able to beat Alabama multiple times, including just a couple of years ago. And we got a guy that maybe we're not so confident in. Others are saying, okay, well, Josh Heupel's on the rise. Gus Malzahn got fired at Auburn. We don't want to bring in a guy who was fired. That's where the pressure cooker question at the press conference comes in. That's kind of funny, because Gus Malzahn's a guy that would absolutely recognize what he would be stepping into in Knoxville, as I'm sure he is in Orlando. But I think it's mixed among Tennessee fans, and it's probably part of, Where did you fall in when Josh Heupel was hired in the first place? If you like the hire, then you're going to stick with it, even with the Gus Malzahn news. If you weren't happy with it, then you could use this to say, wait a minute, we could have had this guy If you bring up financials, it probably would have worked even better to bring in Gus. I think potentially I was in favor of the idea of Tennessee going after Gus Malzahn. I look at his record at Auburn as a plus if you're Tennessee. Tennessee has not been anywhere near that level. Gus would have understood what Tennessee's program is, and he's gone up against Georgia, Alabama, and then, of course, everybody from the West every single year, but it did not work out that way. Tennessee always seems to find itself in this kind of position, though, where other coaches at other schools all of a sudden get tied back to Tennessee, and there's that comparison for fans. So I can assure you over the next 2 or 3 years, assuming Gus stays at UCF, that Tennessee fans are going to be watching what Josh Heupel does and then watching games in Orlando to compare it to what Gus Malzahn's able to do.
So, Josh, with that in mind, like, obviously none of us really know how it's going to play out with Josh Heupel, and he may come in here and do a really good job. But it seems like Danny White did not even talk to Gus Malzahn in this process. And we don't know, like, the exact specifics of everything involved, obviously. But if that's the case and Gus Malzahn was not contacted for this job for Tennessee, to me, that's a big mistake. Would you agree? Like, is it a mistake if Danny White did not at least contact Gus Malzahn during this process?
Well, probably so. If, I thought that Gus would have been a good idea for Tennessee. It was a very confusing time with Kevin Steele being the interim head coach, and you have that awkward connection from Auburn. Now, would that have kept Tennessee from being able to hire Gus Malzahn? I don't know that at all. So, I would have contacted Gus Malzahn, and I would have had interest if I were Danny White, and seeing at least if, one, does Gus want to keep coaching, which we obviously know the answer is yes, with him being hired at UCF, and two, would he think that the Tennessee job is good for him? Yesterday he looked fired up to be at UCF. Would he have brought the same kind of passion to being the head coach at Tennessee and been rejuvenated? I know there's the idea of, well, he was just fired at Auburn. Is he really moving in the right direction? Different sports, but didn't Tennessee fans ask the same question about Rick Barnes? And maybe North Carolina fans, I know on the outside people are asking the same question about Mack Brown. Doesn't mean that Gus is going to have that success, but he's also younger than those guys. And I think better than other people are saying. He was in a tough spot at Auburn, which is a good job, and you can obviously win. He did win there, but it wasn't easy with where Alabama has been, what Georgia became with Kirby Smart, LSU winning a national title, and that obviously negatively affected Gus and the fans' eyes. But I continue to come back to what Tennessee has been, and Tennessee needs to find stability, but it's Josh Heupel's job to find that now, and if he does, it's going to take time, and I think most fans recognize that that's the case, that this is not going to be a, hey, 2021, you're off and running and you're competing at the top of the SEC East. Maybe Gus Malzahn doesn't want the Tennessee job. Maybe he looks at UCF and says, hey, I can win right away, and that's why he's coaching again.
Yeah, I mean, look, the this whole thing with him being fired, I mean, that's the profession. How many coaches in this profession aren't fired at some point, you know? I mean, you've got the rare Nick Sabans out there, and I don't think he was available here. But anyway, I agree with you. I mean, I think Gus would have been a terrific option. I think it's going to be closely watched now, and he did. He seemed to have a lot of energy yesterday. And, yeah, I love the pressure cooker question. Can you handle the heat in Orlando, Gus? Can you handle this, baby? You know, you're stepping up to the big time now. So, Josh, I got to ask you. You mentioned Rick Barnes,
by the way. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I got to ask you. You mentioned Rick Barnes. I got to ask you about his team. I was very disappointed in that team watching them Saturday. Where do you think this team is? What needs to happen here for them to figure it out and go into March with momentum?
Yeah, because they haven't figured it out, and I thought after the Kansas game, they probably had, even expecting another loss or two at least, because that's just how college basketball works. But part of it is how Tennessee is losing. That showing against Ole Miss was so disappointing. And then the same with LSU on Saturday. And the conversation, for different reasons, keeps coming back to the offensive end. And part of it is just not shooting well. They got some shots where if they fall early against LSU, maybe the game goes in a different direction. But I also think consistent playmaking just has not been there from a number of players, really starting with the veterans. And I don't know exactly why the reason is, but with John Fulkerson, who got off to a pretty good start this season, and the second half of the season has not been that way for him, part of it may be on his performance and where his head is, and has he lost some confidence? I think that's a question you could be asking. But I'm also wondering, is Rick Barnes doing enough to help John Fulkerson? After the game against LSU, Rick Barnes was talking about we need more bite, not just bark from the players, but I think they also need more help. You know, John Fulkerson's not Grant Williams. So a couple of years ago, if you didn't like the performance of the players, you could call out Grant or Admiral Schofield and know that they would respond the next game. And I just think you have different personalities here on this team. So I don't know that John's been put in the best position. John Fulkerson's been put in the best position to make plays. And I do wonder, does he feel like he should defer? Because we've known in the past that he looked at other players and said, you know, it's probably their team, not mine. And I don't know whose team it should be. They also need better point guard play, and I don't know that that's really going to happen. So that's why I would also come back to you need to figure out ways for guys to make plays, because one area where I was wrong is I thought they had a number of ball handlers and playmakers that could, you know, maybe not lead the way as a traditional point guard, but guys that could, from Viscovi, Springer, Johnson, Josiah Jordan, James, and Bailey, make plays within the offense, and it just hasn't been there consistently enough. And if it's not there in March, then Tennessee's probably going to get bounced early. The potential's still there for this team. And a lot of teams in college basketball have similar issues, but Tennessee was expected to be different, to not have these kinds of issues, but they're still here.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Josh, appreciate you taking time to join us as always, my friend. Great stuff, and have a great week.
You got it. Thanks, guys.